Happy days are here again. The skies above are clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again. All together shout it now. There's no one who can doubt it now. So let's tell the world about it now.
Everybody, I'm back. Happy days are here again. Thanks, Ed. It's Paul Molloy. You thought I was gone forever. No such luck. Sort of like a bad penny. I'm back again and delighted to be here. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works. You know, Ed, it's been about 3 months. I think the last time I was here,
pretty close,
was the first day of winter, December 21st, actually.
That's right.
Yeah, and I'm delighted to be back. Took a little respite for a while. Feel refreshed, and
I got to tell you right off the bat, you got new glasses, didn't you?
No, it's same
really?
Old glasses. Yeah,
but they look very modern. I don't know. You can mix in with the college kids
there
down the
go.
Road.
There you go. Yeah, with the glasses. Speaking of modern, I noticed we've got some newfangled equipment in here.
Yeah, we tweaked that out a little bit, and I got you a little light in there, and you're all ready to roll. And
you're always very thoughtful. Yeah. He's got this 21st century lamp that's got a clock on it
for
me.
It's called LED light.
Yes, LED. We're into the 21st century with all kinds of stuff in here.
LED
now.
They're not hot. You get that other one, you can put your pizza underneath and keep it
and
warm.
And you can warm it up. Yeah. No, this is true. No, you're right. It's absolutely no heat coming out of it. It's beautiful. Yeah. I'm really thankful. I'm impressed. You're the best, Ed. You really are. It's been my pleasure to be with you for a long time.
Yeah.
And I always look forward to my relationship with Ed. He's a great buddy. Hey, we got a lot going on, Ed. In a few minutes, our buddy John Berlow, remember him? Competitive Enterprise Institute. He's going to be with us. We are going to talk, you know, about all this bank stuff, you know, with that Silicon Valley bank collapsing, and all of a sudden everybody's worried that what's going on? Are we going to have a run on all the banks, you know, trying to get our money out of there? We're going to talk about the prospect of unlimited insurance on your bank deposits. Is that a good thing? You know, to have a guarantee, well, it's a move that John says could devastate the banking system. So stay tuned for that. And while we're still waiting to see whether our buddy Donald Trump is going to be indicted by a New York grand jury, the Donald has set Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in his crosshairs, has he not? Boy, he's really going after DeSantis. We're going to talk a little about that, whether or not it's working for Donald Trump, or is it working for Ron DeSantis? In the meantime, speaking of DeSantis, a left-wing sports writer wants the Baseball Grapefruit League, you know, Ed, all the teams in Florida that play exhibition.
Spring training.
Yeah, we got several of them right around Tampa Bay. He wants the league to vacate the Sunshine State.
Who did we offend now?
Because of the governor.
Oh,
and we're going to get into the detail about what this left-wing sports writer, you may have heard of him, has to say about that. I think this is crazy. In the meantime, in our ultimate top 10, for those of you that live around Tampa Bay, I think you'll find this one interesting. Yes, indeed, we are going to continue our top 10. We are going to give you the top 10 best large companies to work for in Tampa Bay. I don't think WTAM would be included. We're not large enough. Got to have over 500 employees.
But it would be under Tantalk Radio Network would be the official name.
That's true.
I don't believe it made the top.
It wouldn't be in the...
Didn't scratch the top 10.
Large, not in top 10 best large companies. And we're going to give you the best large companies.
So they're going by persons, not weight, right?
By persons. I didn't think of it that way. It's only by persons, yeah. So anyway, it's good to be back. Ed, there's so much going on.
I thought you were going to sit in a chair and just say, where do we start? in 3 months. Where do we start?
Yeah, where do we start? Well, it's like,
I think
I don't know. In some ways, everything is the same as it was the last time I was here.
No,
but in
so
many
much,
ways, it's not.
I missed my buddy sitting down and saying, good God, what the heck is going on here? I mean, everything from, I think the one that stands out to me most is the whole Disney thing with the Splash Mountain ride having to be taken down because
there was some
people that didn't like it in protest or whatever. Do you
was
know?
Was it not politically correct? Or
yeah,
what?
I ran this down. Do you know how many people do you figure go to Disney in Orlando per year? Millions.
Oh boy, that's a
millions.
Very good question.
Millions.
Multi-millions.
Sure. Now times that by at least 10 years, probably 15, because that's how long the ride has been there.
Okay.
And then you need to times that by 2 because you got Disneyland in California.
And they have it too?
They have it too.
Okay.
Guess
Nobody
how many,
was offended
Guess
then.
How many signatures it took to take that ride down?
I'm afraid to hear it.
20,000.
That's horrible. Just horrible. What was the reason behind it?
If you go to moveon.org, I hate to even say that, but and you can start a petition and get people to sign, and then they present. They even boast about, hey, we're the ones that brought this to Disney.
What was the thing about Space Mountain that people don't like?
Well, it's at Splash Mountain.
It's Splash.
There's something in a movie about offensive to black people.
Really?
Something about a log going over a river or something like that.
You're kidding.
No. These people, their grandparents were the ones that used to spin records backwards and get the hidden meaning.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got, and they actually have been able to bring down Splash Mountain
they did.
Because of it.
They did, and they will also replace it with a theme ride with a black princess.
I see. Look, I think it's great to have everybody, all colors, races, and creeds, in a Disney world. But when we start doing this kind of a thing, it just takes away the entire concept of the innocence of Disney World and Disneyland and what Walt Disney wanted for people and, you know, the whole concept for children. Just we've lost the meaning of the creation of Disneyland.
Yeah.
Very sad. Very sad.
It's no longer the happiest place on earth, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Remind me not to go to Splash Mountain or Space Mountain.
It's gone.
All right. So, I'm looking forward to talking with John Berlow. He's an old buddy of ours about this banking thing. In the meantime, we got a lot going on. I mentioned briefly, maybe I'll mention it right now before we go to break, that they're still waiting for this New York grand jury to indict Donald Trump. What's going on with that? First of all, I think that this district attorney that has taken it upon himself to go after Donald Trump for a misdemeanor that happened, how many years ago was that? It was 6 or 8 years,
yes.
10 years ago. The whole thing is so completely, obviously political that it's going to help Trump, not hurt him.
And, well, you got to keep up with the times now that they're dipping back into the Mar-a-Lago thing.
Okay.
Because this doesn't work out. Let's go back to the Mar-a-Lago thing.
Oh, yeah,
thing.
No, they got other things they
Meanwhile,
want to go after
nothing's
him
being
for.
Said about the documents that Biden had in his garage next to the car.
Right.
That's secured, you know?
I know.
Nothing's being said about
this
that.
This is so real. So the Manhattan grand jury, considering charges against Trump, expected to reconvene today, probably has already. I wonder, really deep down. Now, this is now you got to remember, this is New York. This is Manhattan. These people are generally very liberal. The pool of people in the grand jury. You need to have 12 of the 23 grand jury members vote to indict. One over the, in other words, one over 50%. I think it's 12 of 23 or 13 of 24. One or the other. Okay, to indict them. And the grand jury, or Trump said he expected, last week he said he expected to face arrest. I wonder if he really felt that he would, or he was just using that as a sympathy thing. Anyway, I'm going to tell you, I don't think they're going to end up indicting him. I think they're going to drop this case. I think religion will finally get to this.
Paul, at what point...
District attorney guy.
At one point, let's say they do and nothing comes of it. At what point can this man just turn around and start suing people? All this stuff, I mean, you got to go back to impeachments and this and that. At what point do you turn around and start fighting back?
Yeah. I know. Here's the thing. It's very hard to do that. I know what you're saying. It seems like it should be allowed for what they've put him through. I don't understand why he's running. To be honest, I think he's a glutton for punishment. He knows what's coming. He knows. It's almost like he kind of enjoys it. I don't know if he's got a masochistic streak in him or what it is. But he knows he's going to be...
I think he wants to finish what he started.
Yeah, I think he does too.
I think that's the driving force.
Maybe you're right.
Maybe 60%.
Let's take our break. John's waiting patiently for us. When we come back, John Berlow of the Competitive Enterprise Institute.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back in Dade City. Your adventure begins at the Bay Area Renaissance Festival. 8 stages of exciting and hilarious entertainment. Full contact, live armored jousting, mermaids, fairies, pirates, Vikings, and more. Endless shopping at more than 100 different artisan booths. The Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Family fun for all. Weekends, February 19th through April 3rd. Mark your calendars and get your tickets now at BayAreaRenFest.com.
Shenyun, a performance that truly matters to every one of us, is coming March 7th through April 2nd to Mahaffey Theater, St. Petersburg, and RP Funding Center, Lakeland. Shenyun revives 5,000 years of civilization through choreographed dance, music combining Western and Chinese instruments, and dynamic 3D backdrop. Come and see it once in your lifetime. Tickets at shenyun.com/FL.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. I mean, we're back, but we're also back in the sense that we're back. And we're delighted to have back John Berlow. John is a friend of ours. He's a senior fellow and the director of finance policy for the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. And John has been writing and talking a little bit about this situation with the banking concerns and specifically unlimited deposit insurance as a possibility in the wake of, the failure of the Silicon Valley Bank, among other things. John, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Paul, thank you. It's always a pleasure both to talk about public policy and my book, George Washington Entrepreneur,
about
America's beginnings with capitalism with George Washington and his business ventures.
And I am so glad you brought that up because we've talked about that book before. It is a wonderful book. I want to promote it towards the end of our discussion as well because George Washington truly could be considered maybe our greatest president, Lincoln and Washington. But we'll talk about that a little later. John, the Silicon Valley Bank collapse. All of a sudden, it's like tremors around a fault line. The banking industry, and everybody started worrying about the fact that a bank such as Silicon Valley collapses, and then we've got a couple of other banks that start to become shaky, and you wonder if the whole system will collapse. But one of the things let's talk a little bit, first of all, about normally how deposit insurance works. Most people are guaranteed their money up to a certain amount that they put in. Is that correct?
Yes, up to $250,000 is now the limit. And there are things like IntraFi where if you have more than that, you can coordinate with, different banks can hold it with, coordinated from like a sort of like a master account. So there's, it's up to $250,000 and there are ways you can coordinate with other banks,
right,
if there's more.
Right. Is it the federal government that guarantees up to $250,000 that money?
It is. It comes from an assessment on all the banks. So if one bank fails, it's not necessarily tax dollars. Although the FDIC has, you know, borrowed, say in the 90s with the savings and loan collapse from the Treasury before the Treasury has replenished. But you are paying for it as a bank customer, a bank failure, because the premiums go up
right.
That the federal government charges, and then that's, you know, taken out of, you know, services or raised fees to you, or it somehow gets passed on.
Indeed. Now, what you say, John, you say that if the government guarantees bank accounts of any size, it would create what you call an extremely dangerous moral hazard that would lead to a greater risk in the system. Would you kind of explain that?
Yes, I'll just, you know, sort of bailouts beget bailouts and spread the contagion. When you look at, it's slightly different, but with Bear, when the, you know, the Bush, well, the actually this was the first Bush administration bailed out with Tim Geithner, who would later go to Obama, was president of the New York Fed, would bail out Bear Stearns. Everyone else expected a bailout, and so, like Lehman Brothers famously didn't sell off, didn't accept bids, because if they assumed if they got into any trouble, the federal government would step in. So it led to overall more risky behavior. And in this case, in a bailout, you know, of any, when you're saying you could bail out banks, you know, of any size, of $1 million or $1 billion, this would disincentivize, you know, even the wealthiest people, you know, from monitoring the banks that they do business with. Plus, it would mean that it would be, particularly if, like, say, the Biden tax hikes go in that they're proposing, it would sort of disincentivize people from investing if you could get a bank account, particularly of any interest rate, you know, just, you know, guaranteed of any size. So it would have lots of moral hazard and other negative economic effects.
Yeah, and also it gets the involvement of the federal government even more completely into the entire banking system, and the free market aspect of banks and their ability to do, you know, what their customers need and to cater to the needs of the people that they are directly, you know, their patrons, their customers. It would seem to me that it's like socializing the entire system of finance.
Right, it would justify more regulation. I mean, Elizabeth Warren is already doing that to attack, you know, modest relief from Dodd-Frank that a lot of community banks and credit unions were for in 2018. Donald Trump, President Trump signed it, but there were like 17 Democrats in the Senate supporting it. So because they heard, you know, that all of the crushing regulation from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which you're still seeing, and this is the thing, there are a lot of prudent banks. I mean, the Fed with Silicon Valley Bank, you know, was in some ways sort of the instigator, just with, you know, by, you know, the inflation that caused, you know, interest rates to have to rise so much. And but Silicon Valley itself didn't, you know, sort of hedge the interest rate risk, and other banks did. But now these prudent banks are facing all these, you know, as the banking system is so fragile, all this red tape from the Biden administration, like these price controls on late fees for credit cards, and it's just, and if, you know, I think an increase in deposit insurance or unlimited deposit insurance would say, you know, the government have increased the justification since we're footing the bill. We could tell you what to do, including whom to lend and whom not to lend. You already see Silicon Valley Bank was a big ESG bank, and that's part of what got it protection.
Exactly. We're talking with John Berlow. He is the he's a senior fellow and the director of finance policy for the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. We are talking about the prospect of unlimited deposit insurance, so that no matter how much money you put into the bank, it'll be guaranteed. It'll be backed by the federal government. John, specifically with Silicon Valley Bank, are they now... Are all of their depositors, all of their patrons, are they guaranteed their money back?
Yes,
every penny of
basically
it?
Basically, all depositors, the Janet Yellen and the, I guess, supposedly with the Fed, the two-thirds majority of the Fed and the FDIC declared a systemic risk exception, and everybody's made whole. Millionaires and billionaires, there were things on online about which celebrities or royalty may have had account there. I think there was $1 billion account there, and as well as a lot of green tech tech firms, including green tech. Businesses were all just guaranteed. Ro Khanna, Democrat from who represents part of the Valley, said, that all of these things that all of the he was making the case that all of the product from Biden's legislation, the Inflation Reduction Act, so called, would be down the drain if these weren't bailed out.
Well, we got two things going on. First of all, we've got the idea and the concept that all of the other banks and the people that are depositors to these other legitimate, well, I say legitimate banks, banks that are working on their own, they're bailing out Silicon Valley Bank. And then we got the issue of politics, because Silicon Valley Bank, I hear the term sort of, it's a woke culture. Is that correct, that the Silicon Valley Bank, that was that part of the problem?
I think that's what exactly the problem was still being explored. It was certainly part of the problem, I would say, and they had a whole report on all the ESG things they're doing, reducing their so-called carbon footprint, and so everything. So did that, Ro Khanna was using that explicitly, even on public venues like Face the Nation, as justification for an unlimited depositor bailout. But did that also, doing the things the politicians want, sort of lead the Fed to look the other way as far as the fact that they were not hedging interest rate risk, buying long-term treasuries that put them, when interest rates went up, put them in a vulnerable position, which, should have been pretty easy elementary for a bank regulator to see, but were they looking the other way because of that? And also, did they do that, so in some ways they could, continue to make these, woke loans that the politicians liked?
Again, we're talking with John Berlow from the Competitive Enterprise Institute on these on the concept of unlimited deposit insurance on all of the money that you put into the bank. So, John, Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, seems to have come out and said, "Yeah, we're gonna guarantee this money." So the obvious question is, okay, so if any bank, no matter what its size, collapses, are you now going to guarantee all of the people that have money in that bank, all of their money back? Is that where we're now headed?
She's sort of, danced around that statement. She says if there's any bank, if there's a risk of contagion, but she's saying it's not all banks, so it's still going to be arbitrary. In fact, it has to be unless the law is changed, because the 1991 law governing this says you have to get 2/3 of the Federal Reserve and the Federal Deposit Insurance Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, to sign off on this. I was doing the math. If the two Republican commissioners of the FDIC were to vote no, and maybe people should give them some feedback about that, I'm going to be writing about that on CEI.org, then that would cancel a bailout for a certain bank. I don't know what the vote count exactly was for Silicon Valley Bank, but that's going to be an issue in the future. Janet Yellen, even if she wants to, doesn't have that power by herself.
Yeah. I wonder what George Washington would think of this, John. In fact, I want to slide over to your book about George Washington. In those days, they didn't have these issues to worry about. Of course, George Washington. In fact, is it not true that George Washington initially did not want to be the president?
Yes, he wanted to. That is true. He wanted to, he was doing a lot of entrepreneurial, innovative stuff, as I write in George Washington Entrepreneur, available where books are sold and online. In Mount Vernon, including, with being the first to breed mules in America, which was the genetic engineering of its day, and later building a whiskey distillery.
He was a Renaissance man. Yeah.
Yes.
He was a Renaissance man. This guy was everything. I mean, if you look back at him, he just was a brilliant guy, was he not?
He really was, including being brilliant as far as navigating. I mean, there were certainly issues with money in the colonial days of state-backed currencies collapsing, of Britain not, you know, allowing mints for minting process for gold and silver, and there was actually like alternative currencies going around, like tobacco warehouse receipts that functioned as money that were sort of like the Bitcoin of its day. So it's a fascinating world that he did have to deal with a lot of, you know, not the same problems, but similar problems, as well as, you know, with Britain's overweening bureaucracy on entrepreneurs, which led to the revolution, which now we're facing with the administrative state again. So I think there's a lot can be learned that I learned in writing my book, George Washington, Entrepreneur, today's problem.
Boy, do we need a guy like George around today. Again, this book, and I really encourage you to go out and get it, George Washington, Entrepreneur, by John Berlow. And John, as you said, it pretty much is available online and everywhere. Is that true?
That is true. If you don't see it at your local bookstore, ask for it. But it's on the major book sites online, and you can probably ask for it at your retail store.
Terrific. John, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so very much for coming on. Look forward to our next chat.
Yes, CEI.org is our website. Thanks so much for
having
me on.
Indeed, our pleasure. All right, John Berlow, Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to take our break when we come back. Ron DeSantis, he's making all kinds of news. A left-wing sports writer wants the Grapefruit League, the Baseball Grapefruit League in Florida, to vacate because of Governor DeSantis and his policies. We're going to talk about it.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to TAN Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on TAN Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. It's already spring. It's been very warm around here in Tampa Bay. You know, Ed, when was the last time it rained? It's been a long time, has it not?
Well, it rained, less than a week ago, but it really wasn't a very good rain.
We've had a pretty dry, let's be honest.
The pollen is still in the air, and it's killing my eyes. And
yeah.
Everybody's been saying this is probably one of the worst years it's been a while.
I think you're right about the pollen. I feel it, too. What do you think about all of this thing with the spring breakers down in Miami and the trouble that's gone on down there? And then, you know, I don't know, all of the
Dare I say defunded the police?
Yes, you can. I mean, exactly.
Well,
and have people finally figured out that that is the dumbest possible thing that we can do?
It is a Democratic
Miami
stronghold
Beach.
Down there.
Yeah.
I don't know enough to say that maybe they should have had more police for that week or a couple of weeks. Because if you get down to Clearwater Beach right now, there are Clearwater police cars everywhere. They're stationed here, probably I'd say every 10 streets or so.
Yeah.
And then they're on bicycles. And that's just on the roadways. Now on the beach itself, they've got golf carts with big 4x4 wheels, and they're running up and down the beach.
Do we have a lot of the college crowd that's come to Clearwater Beach?
You know, it doesn't look as thick as it usually does. And you got to mind you that there was a shooting in on Clearwater Beach 2 weeks ago in that surf shop on the second floor.
Okay.
So, and the kid was killed.
Oh, boy.
In a gunfight. Oh. So.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it can happen anywhere.
It can, of course.
But there's law and order down there. It's the nighttime you have to worry about.
Yeah. Yes, that indeed is the case.
So Miami is good. I don't know if they did it. They didn't want a curfew, but they were going to stop liquor sales at 6 p.m.
Wow. I mean, it's good to have it's good for the businesses, blah, blah, blah. But then you got that issue with the kids and the trouble. But, you know, there's always been a little bit of that every spring.
Clearwater went way back in the 80s and 90s. They went too far with Clearwater Beach had a cruising law at one time. You couldn't pass the same checkpoint three times, you got a ticket.
Really?
Yes. Right down the main drag.
Ha.
If your music was too loud, you got a ticket. And they drove a lot of the spring breakers away. Because years ago, ESPN was on the beach with the volleyball tournaments. They're all gone. They wouldn't come back. Because Clearwater Beach basically ran the spring breakers off, built condos. I see. So there were no hotels left. Now they're trying to flip it back the other way.
They are trying to go back.
Yeah.
Okay, very interesting. So, we've been talking a little bit about Ron DeSantis. I mean, he's really making the news these days. Some people feel he's made some gaffes recently. I think he has not announced yet, but let's be honest. He's acting completely like someone that's going to be a presidential candidate, and he's drawn the wrath of Donald Trump. In fact, former President Trump's presidential campaign, did you know this? They are blackballing anybody who worked for Ron DeSantis. They can't be involved with Trump. Justin Caporal, who helps lead the advance team for Trump, has put out the word that anybody who staffed a recent DeSantis book tour will be considered persona non grata. When it comes to Donald Trump, this is according to Real Clear Politics. Trump seems to be desperately afraid of Ron DeSantis. He is going after him. He calls him Ron DeSanctimonious.
Well,
and what's going on? Do you think that Trump should kind of hold his fire on this right now?
They're political adversaries. There's going to be a little bit of exchanges there. Listen, the bar has been set, though. 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago, when Kamala Harris called Joe Biden a racist and now works for him.
Yeah.
You got to remember that exchange there.
Of course.
Because so these things are going to happen, yeah. And when they pick the front runner, everybody's going to get along.
You think so?
I would think so.
Okay.
I would think so.
Well, right now, in fact, I think they caught Trump even trying to do a parody of DeSantis during one of his speeches recently, you know, about how Trump keeps saying how he, Donald Trump, is the reason that DeSantis became the governor of Florida. I mean, all right, you know, you gave him a little bit of publicity at the time, but
DeSantis has made fun of the whole payment thing of what's her face there, you know, with the,
yeah,
he worded it that I don't know how you pay off a porn star.
Well, he said he didn't want to get into the payoff of a porn star.
Yeah, I'd never had to do that before. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
I think he could have taken the high road on that one.
Well, maybe
to tell you
so.
The truth, you know,
maybe,
we're not going to pick our candidate over who's got the best, you know, liners or whatever, you know.
So anyway, that's going on. In the meantime, and this is what I really wanted to talk about with you, because you're into sports to some extent. There is a writer for ESPN, he's a Washington Post columnist, and he shows up on ESPN. Do you know this guy, Kevin Blackstone?
No.
Okay. Well, he's a sports writer. He has left-wing tendencies, and in a recent column, Blackstone says that the 15 teams that make up the Grapefruit League in Florida should leave the state as long as DeSantis is governor and move to Arizona, His argument, let's see here. He begins his column on this by referencing Florida's history of racial challenges, including Jim Crow laws, around the time that the Cleveland baseball team moved its operations from Florida to Arizona in 1947. I mean, that's a long time ago. And maybe there was some racial issues going on in 1947.
Oh, there were.
But that's 76 years ago. Things have changed.
What's his name again?
This guy's name is...
I'll just call him Idiot.
Blackstone.
Well, the only people that
Kevin
are left,
Blackstone.
The only people that are left at ESPN are has-beens or never will-bes. That's the only people that are left there. And if you've ever heard...
They've gotten very political.
If you've ever heard the term, because we tell it to athletes all the time, keep your nose out of the politics.
Right.
Stick with the athletes
exactly.
And the game. And keep your nose out of politics
because exactly right.
It doesn't mix.
It does not.
It's like
mix.
Politics and Thanksgiving dinner. It do, you know don't.
Exactly right.
Or religion. It doesn't. Just leave it alone.
Leave it alone is right. Well, this guy has chosen not to follow your advice, so he mentions this situation with the Jim Crow laws and the Cleveland organization in 1947. He cites Florida as having three of the deadliest counties in the South per capita in lynchings at the time that Cleveland made the move in 1947.
Here we go again.
I mean, the guy is going back in history.
Yeah,
why stop in 1947? Let's go back to 1850. I mean, if you're going to be doing that, and we can just include everybody in the South, and we'll just take everything out of the South because...
A friend of mine who is a black man said to me one time, those days when they were around, there was racism. The thing is, I wasn't here, and most of my family wasn't here.
Correct.
So why should I hold you as a white man?
Exactly.
And hold you hostage on that.
This thing is something that apparently we can never get past. And if we can never get past it, if we can never finally try to become one country, etc., the whole concept of what our country is all about, and we're going to continue to do this,
Paul,
it does is divide us and make it worse.
When you commit a crime, you are prosecuted and you get a sentence, and then you're done with it. When your sentence is done, you're done. They can't go back and say, oh, let's rearrest him again because he did that. You know, it's the same thing with what happened in the past. We've
all
bettered
those
ourselves
are no
from,
longer around.
And we've moved on, and we've made ourselves
new
better.
New people here now, and they had nothing
but
to do with
some
it.
Guy at ESPN that nobody's listening to is making a stupid statement like that, hoping if you throw enough, you know what, against the wall, eventually something will stick.
Yeah. I mean, you know, to go back and cite things in 1947. Also, he criticizes Governor DeSantis for taking issue with an advanced placement course in African American studies, which he called, quote, indoctrination. He takes exception to DeSantis' proposed ban on state funding for colleges that embrace critical race theory or racially divisive diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. And of course, DeSantis has been big on saying he wants our students to be taught and learn basics rather than getting into political ideology, which makes complete sense, especially for kids in the younger grades, in the grade schools, and even in high school. They're still trying to learn how to write a legitimate
right.
sentence and divide and multiply and all of these other things and write. And you want to throw all of that towards them as well, and then get into gender ideology and all of this other nonsense. I am so glad that when I went to school, none of this stuff was ever around. Because it would have just, I don't know how I would have come out of school in terms of feeling,
I was going to say,
normal.
When I was in school, the teacher stood at the front of the class and held a book. And we all had the same book. And we read from the same book, and we learned from the book. Today, it's almost like, put your books down, I'm going to tell you what the way this is. these are my views, and this is the way it's going to
yeah.
be.
Yeah, I'm going to get my you political know? Ideology. Yeah. I'm going There's, to incorporate yeah, it we, into teaching you.
We're no longer going to be male or female. We can identify at birth as a birth person. I think that's the newest one. I'm not a male or female. I'm declaring myself a birth person. Come yeah. on.
It's just, I just, you know, when you're, think about it. If you were 10 or 11 years old and you're listening to all of this stuff and then you're going to class and God forbid you have a teacher that brings this kind of stuff up, can you imagine thinking back on what you were worried about at the age of 10 or 11 or 9 or whatever and you have all of that thrown at you? I just don't think it's a healthy thing for these
kids. I mean, 9 or 10
all.
Years old, you're trying to figure out who you want on your kickball team.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, exactly. Anyway. Let's take our final break, and we got some other things to talk. We're going to talk about our buddy Joe Biden. We're going to talk about Russia, nuclear arms in Belarus, and also we're going to give you the top 10 best companies to work for, large companies, in Tampa Bay. So don't go away.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
All I wanted was to touch you. There's no need for blame.
Hey, we are back. How far are we away from Easter? I don't even know. We just, I just, I'm still changing my clocks.
Easter's next weekend.
Is it already? Wow.
I want to
okay.
say so.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. It is the 9th.
The 9th of April.
So, yes.
Okay, so we got some time. We got some time, about 12 days or 13 days. All right.
Get you that Easter basket you wanted.
So, since I've been gone and back, Joe Biden, of course, has been ducking and hiding, won't answer any questions. When he does, there are usually three-word answers, and then they haul him away. What is with this? What if I was a reporter for a major media organization, I would be screaming at the top of my lungs about why the White House is protecting this guy from taking any damn questions. Why doesn't he hold a press conference? Why doesn't he show up and sit down and look, I'm going to spend an hour and a half, and I'm going to answer your questions. What's wrong with him?
It's funny you bring that up, because I thought about this the other day, that when we elect these people, and I'm talking about state senators and people like that, they go into Congress or whatever, or the Senate, that once you elect them, they answer to nobody. I almost think that when you elect, there should be some sort of a new rule that in those offices, you need to have at least 4 town meetings in your term to where you have to get in front of the people and answer those questions.
Exactly.
And the president-wise, I mean, if Trump... It goes back to the same thing. If Trump would have done this, but they don't want to hear that.
No.
They don't want to hear. I mean, that man would stand and take and then give it back, too.
He would.
But I think they're so afraid of Biden just going off the rail.
Biden will read a teleprompter and then stumble away from the lectern. Is that not what happens? And once in a while, he'll turn if he hears a question that maybe he feels he can answer. He'll give
a softball.
Five,
yeah.
words, and then he'll stumble out of the room.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
What flavor ice cream did you have last night?
It's horrible. Yeah. Well, anyway, Biden felt the wrath of Twitter over the weekend after he claimed that, quote, MAGA Republicans want to cut federal funding for border security. Come on, Biden. If you think people are going to swallow that one, the way you've been handling or not handling the border. Here's what he said. MAGA House Republican proposals would slash funding for border security, a move that could allow nearly 900 pounds of fentanyl into our country. He says we need more resources to secure the border, not less. The guy's just outright lying. He's outright lying about what Republicans want done. He absolutely has no interest in closing off the border.
Did you hear his comment about the kid that died of a fentanyl overdose and the mother blamed Biden because he was allowing the drugs to come in? And Biden's response was, in a chuckle, he died during Trump's watch. He OD'd. Those drugs came in under Trump's watch.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, that's pathetic. Yeah. It's just pathetic. So, Biden's tweet included a photo of himself shaking hands with a U.S. Customs and Border Protection officer, which was taken from his first and only trip to the border in El Paso. Remember when they cleaned out the entire area so that when he came in there, there wasn't going to be any trouble? Going to be completely wide open.
The other day I got very excited because I heard Biden went to the border and they had an agreement on tightening the border. The problem is it was Canada.
Yes.
He's at the wrong border.
He's at the wrong border. He's going to work out an agreement with Canada. Hey, man, in the meantime...
We're going to stop all that illegal maple syrup coming across the border.
The other side of the border is totally open. So he's going to go and close the other... The north side of the barn is going to be closed. The south side of the barn is totally open.
That bootleg maple syrup's killing everybody.
There you go, yeah.
We're all getting fat.
You know, it's those Canadians scare me to death.
Yeah.
Those Canadians coming over the border. You know that there's going to be trouble.
Driving in the left lane with the blinker on.
I don't know what this guy is thinking. I mean, I know he's a puppet, and everybody knows that somebody else is doing all of the string pulling. So, I mean, the guy,
I got to say this, Paul. I saw a video of Biden about 25, 30 years ago, and I got to tell you.
He was vibrant.
I'd have voted for him.
He's a very vibrant, he was very vibrant.
He was sharp.
Then. Oh, yeah. He was quick on his feet.
He's a shell of his former self right now.
Absolutely.
I'd never seen it before. He was angry about things. Of course, all the things he's against now, he was for back then.
I mean, I never voted for the guy. I always worried about the guy. He was the ultimate politician. But you're right about his sense of self and his you know, his ability to communicate. He was very vibrant, energetic at that time.
Kamala Harris was right. Back then, he was a racist. I mean, to come out and say, I don't want my schools, you know, mixed with black kids. He came out and said that.
He gave a eulogy at a Ku Klux Klan member who happened to be, I'm trying to think of his name, the Speaker of the House when he died, who had been a Grand Dragon from West Virginia, Robert Byrd. Did you know that Joe Biden eulogized Robert Byrd?
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Byrd at that point, it had been years since, you know, he was a member of the KKK.
Yeah.
But I mean, couldn't you imagine if Trump had eulogized a former Grand Dragon? How many times you would have seen that? You don't see the eulogy by Biden on Robert Byrd.
We have all made mistakes in the past. If you're going to find people that haven't made mistakes in the past, you couldn't fill the Congress bathroom with people.
Exactly right.
That have not made mistakes in their lives.
But I'm just saying, you know, it depends on who you are. And they'll forgive one group and not forgive another. That's the point.
Because one group makes enough noise about it.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's time for our top 10.
Sure.
And this is an interesting thing. Over the weekend, I go and pilfer the Sunday Tampa Bay Times, okay? We only have, for those of you that don't live in Tampa Bay, The Tampa Bay Times comes out twice a week in paper form. It comes out on Sunday and Wednesday.
I'd call it a fish wrap, but that's offensive, that's offensive to the fish.
Poor fish. And by the way, the Tampa Bay Times hates Ron DeSantis.
Oh, boy, do they.
They hate him. I have never,
and Trump.
If you go to the opinion, you know, of course, Trump. If you go to their opinion page, I don't think I've seen a pro DeSantis letter that they've allowed on that page in months. Okay. Mm. All right. Anyway, they have come out and published the top 10 best companies to work for in Tampa Bay with 500 or more employees. Now, it was actually a survey that was conducted by a group called Energage. There were 24 questions. Energage invited 2,450 plus companies in Tampa Bay to participate in the survey of their employees. And they got the results back. And here are the top 10 companies that employees want to work for.
I'm sure Jabil's in there.
You think so?
Yeah.
We'll find out. Here we go. Number 10. Believe it or not, MetLife has a big presence here in Tampa Bay. They've got 2,053 employees, and MetLife is number 10 in terms of best companies to work for. Number 9. I think I missed number 9. I've got number 8 here. I've got the page. I'll have to go back and look.
You can make one up.
I'll make one up, but here's the one that comes next on here. Capital One Financial Corporation. They are a banking company. They've got 1,641 employees. So that's number, according to the list here, I think it's number 8. All right. Number 7. Have you ever heard, Ed, of Baldwin Risk Partners?
No.
They are an insurance and risk management company. You notice it's all financial so far. And they've got 516 employees. They just made the cut.
We got 2 minutes.
We got 2 minutes. All right. There we go. Number 6. Grow Financial Federal Credit Union. Another one. 547 employees. All right. Number 5. Progressive Insurance. I see their commercials all the time on TV. Yeah. They've got 5,350 employees. Number 4.
Can't stand that lady.
Oh, Midge or whatever her name is. All right. Number 4 is K-Force. They are a business services company, 593 employees. Number 3.
It's Flo, by the way.
Flo is right. I like her. You don't like Flo?
No.
Why?
No.
Okay, that's all right. It's a psychological thing. 3 is BHHS Florida Properties Group. They are a property management company. They've got 3,000 plus employees. Wow. Number 2. Chadwell Supply. They are a maintenance supply company. They've got 525 employees. All right. And the number 1 best company with 500 or more employees. KnowBe4. KNOW.
Oh, that's right down there, downtown Clearwater.
Yes.
Yes.
KnowBe4. They are a security and awareness training company. Did you know that?
I thought they were a software company.
They are security and, well, they have, I'm sure.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Incorporated in there. But security and awareness training, they got 1,280 employees. So there you go. Wow. All right. We'll be back on Wednesday. It's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 to 11. We'll see you Wednesday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
You're listening to the TAN Talk Radio Network.